This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out once again from our studios here, First Baptist Church of Algiers. And I'm happy to be with you folks. Happy to have you new listeners and other stations that we've recently gone on. I wish you'd sit down and write me. Let me hear from you if you're interested in getting out the gospel. I ask folks oftentimes, if you'd like to be a missionary, help us with the broadcast or help us with our literature campaign we have here. We have a Bible fund that we've set up where folks write in and send us money for a Bible. We send Bibles all over America to prisons, chaplains, writers, and then overseas to Nigeria and Africa, Malawi, and India. We have a man there in the Indian Ocean who wrote me and asked for 10,000 copies of the pastor's books to give out. And then a man down in the Fiji Islands wrote me and asked me for, or emailed me and asked me for 1,000 copies. And then he wrote me back a few weeks later and said, they're all gone, Pastor. Got them all out. But we bring you a series of messages now on the Trailblazer broadcast on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've been looking there at the church at Ephesus and the warning that the Lord had given that church there at Ephesus. And then what he said, he says, repent. He told that church to repent, or else I will come and remove thy candlestick out of his place. And I asked you, do you know what that means? In other words, he'll say to the Holy Spirit, let her alone. You remember over there the scripture that says, leave him alone, he's joined to idols? Oh, my friend, let's ask the Lord. When he does this, his eye will never be on that assembly again. My constant cry and prayer is, for the Old Trailblazer broadcast, for the Voice of Truth broadcast, for radio missions, for this church, this assembly of ours and yours, Lord, don't leave us. Don't leave us. Break us. Break us anew. Cleanse us that we may love thee with the love of a bride, and that our love for thee may always be as the freshness of the morning dew. Then Christ speaks again with another commendation. He says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The deeds of the Nicolaitans was a party in the church, and from all accounts, a small group at that, who were talking and planning of setting up a rule of the clergy. I mean that they wanted to separate, and they did separate the pastor from the laity and organize an holy order in the church, whereby the minister would become a clergyman with a higher rank than the average member. Now, my friend, this is so prevalent today. We're not going to get into that too much. This would tend ultimately to give the pastor, known as a clergyman, this would tend to give the pastor political, physical, organized power over the laity. That's what happens now in many of our denominations. This comes from the meaning of the word Nicolaitans, which is composed of the words Nico, meaning to rule, and Laos, the people of laity. The primitive church, or I may say the New Testament Bible church, was an assembly of blood-bought, born-again believers who gathered together to praise the Lord, to worship Him. But we see here the beginning of the religious hierarchy, which manifests itself now in practically all religious organization. Listen, friend, Pastor Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, is not a clergyman, a churchman. No, I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God, one whom the Lord has placed as a pastor of a New Testament church whose only head is Christ and whose only rule of faith and practice is the Word of God, the Bible. We'll study more about that, the Nicolaitans, when we come to the church at Pergamos. I hope you'll go there and read about the church at Pergamos. You'll find what the Lord has to say more about. The Lord Jesus Christ closes this letter to the church of Ephesus with a promise. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him, listen now, perk up your ears and listen. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, the overcoming one, Christ makes the promise. Who is he that overcometh? 1 John 5:4 says, "For whosoever, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The born-again one is the overcoming one. The individual who has been awakened by the Holy Spirit to the fact that he's a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, and has come to Christ as such, to the heart of the guilty sinner has been revealed that Christ, the Christ of God, as his substitute. I asked you at this time, let me take a moment here and ask you, we have listeners all over this nation now. Is Christ your substitute? Do you know anything about a substitute? Do you know anything about a substitute? Did you know we must have a substitute? Oh, I feel constrained to tell you that little story that I've told a few times. Many of you have probably heard it already. But back there during the days of the Civil War, it illustrates this, you and I needing a substitute so greatly. Back there during the days of the Civil War, but just not long before the war was over, a bunch of our Confederate troops had been captured, and some of them had been tried for treason, they called it, giving evidence or whatever to the enemy. But they had a group of men consigned to be shot in the firing squad, executed by a firing squad. That's what they did back in those days. So there was seven or eight of them, and in that group there was one man, quite older than the rest of those young men. And he had a wife and five or six children back home down here in South Louisiana, Alabama somewhere. And just an old farmer that had been conscripted into the army. And this young man in the same group went to the officer in charge and he said, "Captain, could I take his place?" And that man has a family, five or six children, a wife. And it was so unusual. He said, "Well, I can't do that. I'll have to get permission from higher up." So the story goes, he did. He got permission. And on the day of execution came, that young man stood there with five or six others and was killed by the firing squad. Oh, what happened? That he took that man's place. And he went free. The army, the war was soon over, and that man went back home, joined his wife and family. For several years, they scraped a living out of the earth back there on the old farm. So one day he told them, said, "We're going up there in Tennessee or somewhere, wherever that happened." I believe it was in Tennessee. He never had told anybody about it. And they went out there in the countryside and found that little cemetery where all those men were buried. And he scratched around and found the grave, had a little old marker there. And it was flat and sunk in a little bit, and he got his tools out and began to mound up the dirt and fix up the grave. And he was crying. He told his children about this story. He said, "This man took my place. This young man took my place. I was destined to be shot, and this man took my place. And my friend, Christ took my place. Our Lord took my place. Did he take yours? You must have a substitute. My friend, you owe a sin debt. Every man who's ever born into this world, every woman who is ever born into this world, must have a substitute. Salvation is having a substitute. Salvation, being saved, is not of yourself. You can't save yourself, my friend. You can't work up salvation. You can't do anything. It all comes because of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death. He took our place. He took my place. I like to make it personal. He took the old Trailblazer's place. He said, "I died for him." And now, our Lord sits at the right hand of God the Father. And when you and I walk out of the Lord's will, the Lord says to his Father, "Put that on my account. He's one of mine. I paid for him." Oh, I hear this claptrap of being saved today and lost tomorrow. No, sir. No, sir. The Lord never took back that substitute. He died for me. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But my friend, my Lord was worthy. So we see that he is, who is he that overcometh? Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The born-again one is one of the overcoming one. The individual who's been awakened, as I said, and brought to see was a sinner, come to Christ. Oh, my friend, that individual has been made a new creature. How? By the substitutionary death of Christ. And being born of the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit of the living God. To that individual, Christ is the tree of life. He becomes the one we feed upon. That individual finds all of his nourishment, his substance, his life, his joy, his crown, his satisfaction, and his pleasure in Christ. Christ becomes his bread of life, his water of life, his portion. He does not have to go to the world or anything else to find his joy and satisfaction. There is springing up in his heart and life rivers of living water, and he praises the Lord day in and day out, from whom all blessings flow. I know that we wake up sometimes and we don't feel or don't believe that we're saved. Maybe I tell some of my converts sometimes, they say, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. I said, well, maybe your liver just turned over sideways. You know, when your liver turns over sideways, makes a nasty taste in your mouth, and you just don't feel good, do you? Well, my friend, you just ask the Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Remember we talked about leaving your first love? Have you been walking around, trampling around where you didn't have any business? Come back and ask the Lord. Lord, renew thy love in my heart. Renew, restore the joy, thy joy in my heart. Bring me back to my first love. The old trailblazer, just a simple old fool, my friend. But I believe that salvation is the greatest thing that ever happens to an individual. Now, I meet many folks, and I have many friends who have made a decision for Jesus. They have no reality of Christ. They don't have the assurance of Christ. They don't have any joy in their heart. They can smoke and drink and carouse and chase women and run around and do all the things they used to do. But I belong to the church. I made a decision for Jesus. Well, they just bust hell wide open if they never come to Christ. Now, my friend, it means something to know the Lord. It means something. If you write me, I have a little booklet on the reality of Christ. If you ask for it by title, I'll be glad to send it to you, free and postpaid. The reality of Christ. Christ is a living reality to every born-again believer, my friend. There comes a time when you can look up at night on your bed there. You ever thank the Lord? You ever just wake up and thank the Lord? I asked my folks here, and I asked you, when you wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, take a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord, for a good cool bed in the summer and a warm bed in the winter. Thank you for a good mate thou hast given me. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up with a sound mind. If you do that, you'll be a lot happier. And then you can thank the Lord for a substitute that took your place there on Calvary's cross. You need a substitute, my sinner friend. If you're not saved, the Lord provides a substitute. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord has provided. Day in and day out, the Lord provides for the old trailblazer. As I tell folks often, I live from God's hand to my mouth. That's what I do. The Lord supplies all our needs here, all my needs. I don't want for anything. I wish you'd write me and help me with the broadcast, if you would, if you want to be a missionary at heart. And remember, my address, my mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.